Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by BetMGM. Make it legend.
Wait for it.
Dairy. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
And we're off. Here we go. It is a daily tip on the BetMGM Network on a Thursday. Good morning. Back in studio. Ready to rock. Coming up on this early morning edition, we'll look at our bets from last night and why Cards quarterback Kyler Murray was apologizing on Wednesday while the Commanders were celebrating. We got our power rankings, baseball bets, and Brendan Tobin from Brendan and Leroy in Miami to help us preview Thursday night football. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. For about 5 seconds, I thought it was Friday and I got
close.
Really happy. But unfortunately, to report, it is still Thursday. But at least we do have a football game on tonight, which makes it noticeably better than Wednesday.
Yes, always better when there's football on. Yesterday, we had a good time yesterday. But Wednesday, wouldn't you agree that Wednesday is kind of the slow point of every week during the NFL season? Like, at least on Tuesdays, we have the remnants of Monday Night Football, what we saw. And then on Thursdays, we always have TNF. But Wednesday is just kind of like, all right, for a moment in time, it's just football news and mostly baseball and other sports.
Yeah, Wednesday's the worst day of the week. Like, we've gone over this. Like, you have daytime baseball, and then there's, like, a few games on. Like, I was watching Guardians-Tigers last night. Oof. But it just doesn't hit the same as, like, primetime football. So, eventually, Roger Goodell will make it Wednesday night football. Be like, listen, Chiefs, we got to put you on Wednesdays because we've got to take over this nonsense. Baseball's getting the spotlight. Hell no. WNBA playoffs? Come on, guys. Get out there. Week 18. Let's go.
Oh, he's going to do it. Only a matter of time. You can only push the human body so much, but if anybody can do it, it's Roger Goodell. Mm. He'll absolutely do it. You know, he always is about the shield, you know? Also, Dylan says, why not Friday Junior? Why can't you get on board with the Friday Junior mention that he had just before he went on the air?
I mean, this is me trying to be positive. Like, you know me. If you want to see negative, like, just you wait and see, because that was not even close to being negative. Ask me about, like, NC State football, and then I will go into a tailspin.
No.
But at least we have Thursday night football tonight. But on the negative side, like, what's that Saturday Night Live sketch where it's Debbie Downer?
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, Debbie, we've got Thursday night football, but the line is 12 and a half.
There's an the line is big and there's an epidemic of feline AIDS. You're like, oh, God, okay, okay, it's football. Back up, Debbie, just chill for a second. Well, your bet yesterday, I was watching this game when I was down here at Nats Park just before the game against the Braves. I was visiting with some friends of mine who are in town and some other people came in. So it was a nice little afternoon visiting with them, watching some afternoon baseball, O's and White Sox, and you got the dub. It was close, but still a winner.
Yeah, so the first five under number was 4.5. This final score of the game was 3-1, but all of the runs, of course, were scored in the first five innings, but we still got our win. I'm thinking that Tyler Wells needs to be inducted into the Circle of Trust. Like, he's a late-season addition. But boy, has he been good. Another great inning from the Orioles starter yesterday. 6 innings, only one run, and only 4 hits. So what a start from Tyler Wells.
Nice job. I had an interesting day. 2-2-1 on a big card. So I'll spare you all of the bets. But I do think it's interesting. I've been trying out these -1 bets. And I have pushed the last 2 days. So they have saved me.
as far as keeping me from an L. So I might keep doing it for a while, but I had the Red Sox minus one against the A's, and the Red Sox went 5-4 in 10. So that was close. Otherwise, a pretty mediocre evening. As for the Dogster, he took the L. He had the Guardians, or the Tigers, I should say, on the money line against the Guardians, and the Guardians win it 4-0. So, for the week, Chelsea, you are 3-2. I am 5-4-2, and the Dogster is 2-1. It is a daily tip here on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Thursday morning, or Friday Junior, as Dylan likes to call it. Yesterday, on a Wednesday, Chelsea's least favorite day of the week, Kyler Murray decided, you know what I'll do? I'll go on Twitter, and I'll post a picture of me and my pit bull. Not a big deal. But what I'll do is I'll put on my retro Virginia Tech Michael Vick jersey. So clearly, this was viewed as offensive by many, and we're putting this up right now if you're streaming us, because, of course, Vick suspended for dogfighting in 2007 before spending 21 months in a federal prison. So this blew up really quickly, and Murray went to the podium and decided to immediately apologize.
Yeah, you know, in no way, shape, or form do I, you know, condone, you know, animal cruelty or dog, you know, dog fighting, whatever it is. You know, for me personally, y'all saw me wear the Michael Vick jersey, a player that I admire very much growing up. And then, you know, being home with my pup, who, you know, my dog Trunks and Swoosh, they both get treated like kings. So it's not like, you know, I'm in no way, shape, or form am I condoning that. But yes, I saw how it affected people and, you know, decided to take it down.
I mean, come on, dude. You knew this was going to cause some sort of uproar or backlash. If you grew up idolizing Michael Vick and he was your guy, you know about his career, you know about the dogfighting conviction, and you have to know that if you put on a jersey with your pit bulls, a Virginia Tech Michael Vick jersey, and post that online, you know what you're doing. You can't be this dumb, right? You have to know what you're doing, and why would you do it in the first place? So, of course, he posts it, and then immediately he's like, oh, yeah, sorry, I don't condone any of this. I just love my dogs. Like, yeah, you knew what you were doing. He had to.
Right. Like, for a second, I was like, okay, how old is he? Maybe he doesn't remember, but if you know enough about Michael Vick, you right. know the entire narrative. That's like wearing an O.J. Simpson jersey. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, was there something else that he possibly did? I don't know, allegedly. But like, imagine you're the person taking the picture, because this was not a selfie. Yeah. So you're sitting there and you're like, Kyler, yeah. are we sure we want to go through with this? Because it wasn't even just a dog. It was pit bulls. Like, the specific breed right. that Michael Vick, you know, abused. So I don't know. Like, it obviously rubs people the wrong way. And, like, I was about to say that his week one outfit was, like, offensive enough. I don't know if you saw his week one outfit. It was terrible, but at least it didn't hurt people's feelings. Because he had on these, like, crop pants that made him look, like, 5'1". So, Kyler Murray, what are you doing? Like, this is not how you want to be in the headlines. I understand nobody cares about the Arizona Cardinals, but still, this is not how you do it. Not all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. So maybe he was just bored. It's amazing to me that you would have the thought, let me do this, and then immediately I'm going to get a call. And it's not like he's standing up for something. It's like, you can like Michael Vick, okay. There's a lot of NFL players who grew up obsessing about Michael Vick because he was such a wunderkind the way he played the game. Nobody had ever seen anyone move that way, especially with his legs, had a rocket arm. We know all this, but you have to know the history. He knows the history. Why would you do this knowing as soon as you post this, your phone's blowing up, and then you immediately have to go to the facility if you're not already there? Like, oh, my God. I don't understand. We were talking last week about how, you know, we really don't pay attention to the Cardinals. Why is it that nobody pays attention to the Cardinals? Well, Kyler, you're paying attention to the Cardinals. Not maybe the attention you wanted, but you're getting the attention.
It just feels like there was a way around this. Like, there are captions. Like, if you wanted to say something thoughtful and say, hey, listen, I grew up watching Michael Vick and right. really idolizing his game. But at the same time, I have a very soft spot for pit bulls. I own two of them. They live like kings. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a donation to, you know, the Humane Society or whatever. Because
yeah.
that feels like the logical next step, right? It's like, yeah. you got to make a donation. He makes enough money. So why not do that?
Right. I mean, why not go all in, put on a Brett Favre jersey and grab a wad of cash and stand next to someone who's homeless and be like, hey, just hanging out, love Brett Favre. Be like, he's a crook, what are you doing? This is insensitive. Grab a knife, put on your O.J. Simpson jersey and be like, hey, hanging out in the kitchen. It's just so dumb. He can't be this dumb. He has to know. He has to know. And also, this picture was actually a well-done picture. I mean, the content is offensive for people who know the story. But I will say,
picture's,
you know,
really good.
But the picture itself, it's not like this was done on a whim. Like, look at this. This is a well-done picture.
Somebody took it.
Yeah, somebody took this and put it together. So it would be different if this was some candid shot. It's not. This was definitely crafted to be put online and to cause this controversy. So I don't know what sort of statement he was trying to make. Like, if anything, like, okay, you went online and you like Michael Vick and then you apologized. What was the point?
Maybe the social media manager or like his assistant or whoever was taking the picture was too young to know. Like, that's all I can think of, you know? Because, like,
knows,
imagine,
right?
Somebody's taking your picture and, like, a lot of people who are very good at social media are younger. But, like, still, how do you not know that about Michael Vick?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that was a massive story. And if you're like, hey, wonder who Michael Vick is, when you Google him, if you just read his Wikipedia page, like, that has to be one of the larger paragraphs on his wiki page.
Well, and also, you can put this in the proper context. And Double D pointed this out in the chat, and it's very true, is that since his conviction, Michael Vick has done a lot of work for advocates who want to prevent animal cruelty, who want to shut down dog fighting, which he should, and he's done a lot of that quietly, which is why we've seen him back in the media. And look, he didn't get away with anything, right? Like, he did hard time. I believe he was at Leavenworth in Kansas. That's hard time, 21 months. So I'm not excusing what he did, but he has paid the punishment again and again and again. And you can kind of put that in the proper context, but like you were saying, if there's a caption or something there, then you can say that or relate that, which might have been a softer message or one that, hey, you know, I want to focus on the fact that this guy did something terrible, which we should all pay attention to and never allow to happen. At the same time, I'm proud of the fact that he has been a part of the solution. You could do that, but just posting this picture is really tone deaf.
Yeah, it's really not hard to put a caption. It's really not hard.
It's really not. it's really not.
But I also feel like animal cruelty is one of those things that, like, this country does not agree on much these days, but, like, animal cruelty, like, that's something people have trouble, like, forgetting about forgiving. Because, like, think about how innocent animals are. They didn't do anything to you. They didn't deserve this life. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're talking about dogs, people love dogs. So, like, this is one of those things that across the board, like, if you want followers and likes, maybe this is not, like, the hot button issue to stand on.
Don't stand on business for dog fighting. You know, like, what are you doing? I'm standing on business. Like, no, don't. This is the wrong one. Maybe you just needed the attention. I do have someone that I know who kind of does this on a regular basis. Not this obvious.
Dog fighting?
No. But it's... I have a friend who dogfights on a regular basis. No. I'm talking about posting to social media and looking for attention. Like, the playbook goes... No, not dogfighting, no. The playbook goes, hey, there's a really hot-button topic out there. It's something that people are upset about. So what I'll do is I'll post something kind of generic with enough plausible deniability that seems like I'm taking a stand against something, for or against something. And then when people call this person out, the person's like, whoa, that's not what I'm talking about. This has nothing to do with this issue. This is something I'm going through. This is me. And I'm like, okay, well, I only see this playbook again and again and again. Mm. Like, it's just like clockwork. And it's like you got to have that attention. You got to have that spotlight for a moment. You got to bring it on to yourself because you know people are going to react. Like, I need that reaction. And I feel like for some reason, for better or for worse, that's what Kyler Murray needed. I don't know why, but for a guy who sort of made a career out of being quiet and not really being a vocal leader, like for him to step up and this is the one time you're going to come to the forefront, it's just so bizarre.
See, I don't think he did it for attention. I think he was just stupid and didn't think about it. Because, like, think about him over his career. He's not been, like, an attention-seeking diva. In fact, you know, the narrative kind of goes against him in the fact that, like, he's a little too apathetic and he cares too much about video games, right? Yeah. Because, like, the only other times he's been in the headlines for, like, you know, something other than football, it's been, oh, Kyler Murray has been playing video games so much that they had to sign him homework to look at the playbook. So I think it's not an attention-seeking thing. I just think it was a stupid move that was not thought through.
Definitely a stupid move. Also, Cardinals in San Francisco this week. And San Francisco is a 2.5-point favorite. Cardinals are 2-0. Their win total set at 9.5. If you like them to win the NFC, they are 22-1. If you want to trust in Kyler on the football field and maybe not what he posts on social media. Coming up next here on the show. All right, we're off and running on this Friday. Junior, the Commanders officially returning to D.C. What does that mean for the future of sports in the nation's capital? And she's pregnant. We'll tell you who and which NFL player she's dating. Oh, yeah, we're getting into everything. It's coming up on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Thursday.
In 20 minutes, the crew give out their power rankings after the weekend in the NFL here on the Daily Tip, sponsored by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Tip with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, the Commanders get the news they've been waiting for. I was looking at Kyler Murray's outfit that you mentioned from week one. Not to retread on it, but it is not a good look. At some point, if you're going to dress in a particular way, don't you need to have someone that says, you know what, I don't know about this look. Maybe, and this thing is, my favorite comment was, he's a walking laboo-boo. That was pretty funny. Like, there's a lot of good comments. But he's just a short little guy wearing these little, I mean, everything's little, but these shorts, wispy shorts that are just below the knee, and they make him look smaller than he actually is. You need to have someone in your corner just to check you from time to time and say, this isn't a go here. We should do something else.
Well, yeah, you would think that. And then he pulled out his week two outfit, and it was a Michael Vick jersey, and he's sitting there with his pit bull. So, like, clearly there's nobody in his corner, James.
Yeah.
But I remember when this used to be a thing. Like, remember when tall tees used to be a trend? Like, I don't know, like, what geographical area you were, like, during this time of tall tees. But, like, I was almost a minority at my high school. So, like, this was a big thing. And so they would wear those jeans that were, like, super, super baggy. And they would have this cut, like Kyler Murray is wearing, where it looks like they have no legs. Like, I don't know why the style was to make it look like you have really, really short legs. But, like, this is what guys did, like, at my high school, and it was a terrible look. I don't know why you were trying to hide your body that much, but it was, like, you looked like a cartoon character because the tees were so long. And, it we had to have these banned from our school because so many people were wearing them, and you couldn't tell what guys had in their pockets. Needless to say, we had a metal detector at my school. But, yeah, not one of those trends that I think need reliving.
Oh, man. I've got a picture in my senior yearbook, and it's a full-length picture. I think I won, like, best all-around or something. So me and the girl who also won the award had to pose next to each other outdoors, like next to a tree or something. And it's a full-length outfit. Oh, let me tell you. It's a long-sleeve, button-down shirt, flowers. I've got it buttoned all the way to the top. And then I've got pleated jeans on with, like, a high waist.
Ooh.
Like, it's... And I believe... Yeah, I believe the jeans are cuffed as well. I mean, it's a tough... It's a tough early 90s look. And, I mean, of course, I look like a baby. And that's... You get the full-length shot. And I look back at that, and I'm like, oof, That was definitely an era right there.
The crazy part is a lot of these styles are coming back into fashion. Like, if you go to Target, you get PTSD. You're like, what are we doing? Why are we selling these type of clothes again? These were not good styles then, and they're not good styles now.
Oh, man. Yeah. Some styles I like coming back because I feel like some styles are kind of timeless and kitschy and cool. But then some, you're like, this should have died in this particular era, you know. But if anyone's going to bring him back, it's Kyler Murray. Let's stay in the NFL. And before we get to the Commanders, good news yesterday, which we will talk about. You know what? Good news all around, because we know that Cardi B and Stephon Diggs were a big thing. You know, what was it, a few months ago, Memorial Day, they're out on a boat. Stephon's handing out that pink powder. That was a distraction. And then they got really quiet. We didn't know what was going on with the two. But yesterday on CBS, Cardi B revealed some huge news.
Well, yes, I am. I'm having a baby with my boyfriend, Stephon Diggs.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. How are you feeling about that? And that this will be baby number four for you, Cardi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm happy. I feel like I'm in a good space. I feel very strong. I feel very powerful that I'm doing all this work, but I'm doing all this work while I'm creating a baby. Me and my man, we're very supportive of each other.
Well, this is great. If you were worried about the status of their relationship, they're back on and they're having a baby. Good news for the Bills who play tonight.
I didn't know that she already had three kids. Like, yeah. I knew she had some babies, but I didn't know she had that many. But I know people are speculating because I think her tour starts in February. But here's my takeaway from this is okay. That if you are looking for a celebrity couple to, you know, root for in the Super Bowl, do you dump Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and say, oh, the Chiefs are done. They're not going to be in the Super Bowl. Maybe Taylor plays, but, like, her boyfriend's mm-hmm. not going to be there. Or her fiancé is not going to be there. So do you go to Stephon Diggs and Cardi B?
Maybe. Maybe there's a new rule where whoever's playing the Super Bowl, they would have to, of course, make this decision late. You have to have a fiancé, wife, partner of someone playing in the Super Bowl so there's a connection. And you know what? You might end up with someone who can't learn to perform. Might be a bad show, but it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if the Patriots make it there. but Drake May has looked improved.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, I had this thought yesterday, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I still feel like the number one power couple when it comes to entertainment is still Jay-Z and Beyonce. Like, as far as, like, net worth and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, is Travis Kelce on that level yet? Because it's wild to think, like, because Travis Kelce is in our bubble of sports, and obviously he is a main character, but when it comes to, like, actual money-making,
no.
Like, Jay-Z still is, like, worlds above, right?
Oh, he's a billionaire, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, Jay-Z's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I mean, Taylor is too, but Jay-Z's, you know, billionaire with a B. Travis Kelce's not a billionaire. I mean, Jay-Z is definitely more worldwide. Yeah.
It's weird because now I just have it ingrained in my mind that, like, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are the number one power couple, but maybe it's, like, due to fame because, like, fame goes into it too.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I'm sure there's, like, some power couple out there that, like, I've never heard of that, like, have won Nobel Prizes, but I'm like, yeah, but are they on the cover of People magazine?
Right.
So it's, I guess it depends on your definition.
Right. I mean, certainly Travis and Taylor are, like, the it couple of the moment, but overall, if we're talking about real power, probably Beyonce and Jay-Z if we're talking about power. Because Travis has power within the sports space, but outside of that, maybe he loses a little bit of power. Jay-Z is kind of in everything, music, sports, whatever,
yeah,
with his empire.
An agent, right?
Yeah.
Or an agency,
exactly,
for sports.
Between he and Queen Bee, mm-hmm. I mean, that's hard to top. Also hard to top, the news here in D.C. It's official. The Commanders are returning to the RFK Stadium site. So the D.C. City Council voting yesterday 11-2 to make it official. There were some unworkable clauses, as they call them, in the last minute ahead of the vote. So one of the things that was included as part of the final vote, which eventually got eradicated, was, okay, if the Commanders don't meet the timeline for creating housing at this site, then it's a $10 million penalty. And so the Commander said, you know, some of these last-minute additions, these clauses are, they're just untenable. So those were removed. The vote went through, and now the Commanders can officially move forward with a domed stadium, which they are hoping to complete in 2030. Commanders owner Josh Harris saying this, "We can now move forward on the transformative RFK project that will bring lasting economic growth for our city. We are deeply grateful for the warm return to the district and the center of the DMV. We look forward to bringing the team back to its spiritual home in 2030. We knew this was going to happen, but to have it official is really exciting, because you never know in politics. Things can kind of fall apart at the last second. They did not here, and now the burgundy and gold coming back to D.C. as it should be. And this is, man, the perfect site. RFK was the perfect site, and it will be again. It's exciting.
Yeah, and obviously you have a background in this, because you live in D.C., you cover the Commanders. So it feels stupid for me to be like, this is a big deal to the city. I don't live in D.C. So, Jenks, you tell us, why is this a big deal?
It's a huge deal because when they say the spiritual home of this team, that's really the perfect way to put it. And yes, they've been in Landover, they've been in Maryland. If you've been to Landover, it's nothing personal. There's just nothing there. There's just nothing there. And it's not D.C. It's not D.C. Virginia is not D.C. Maryland is not D.C. And yes, they're the DMV together. But having this stadium in the District of Columbia makes it feel right. Like, this is where the Commanders, and before being the Redskins, became a juggernaut, where they created the vast majority of their history, where they won Super Bowls, where people have amazing memories, where you look back on the old NFL films reels and fans are bouncing in the stands. That was one of the famous attributes of the original RFK, you know, a loud, incredible atmosphere where this team was the real heartbeat of the city. So I feel like the city losing that and the team losing that sort of just took away something that was so very important and inherent when you looked at the history of this franchise. So for it to come back here is exactly where they should be. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and even from an outsider perspective, I feel like the stadium experiences that I like the most are the ones that are like right downtown, or they have like elements of the city in them. You know, when you look at the Steelers stadium and you like see all the landmarks, you know, of Pittsburgh, and even like the Philly stadium, where it's the Eagles and the Phillies, and I think like maybe the basketball arena is close too. Like, it just has this like cool aura. Like, isn't that the catchphrase that like kids are using these days? Like, the vibes are good. When you have a stadium that's right downtown, you can walk to the game, you can walk to the bars afterwards. That's why I feel like a lot of people like coming to Titans games, because you walk right across the bridge and it's Broadway. And they're like, okay, seamless experience. Once we beat the brakes off the Titans, we can go down to Broadway and drink a bunch. So a lot of people make this like a destination, you know, because they're like, oh, we'll go see the Bills play in Nashville so we can go drink. Yeah. So I think it's just one of those things that adds to the game day experience.
Oh, sure. And in here in D.C., like right down the street here, I was here yesterday, it's a 10-minute drive tops. I mean, if you exclude rush hour, from where I live. Like, Nats Park is right here. You can get off the metro and you're right here. And then you've got right downtown, the Caps and the Wizards play at Capital One Arena. And now you get the Commanders back in D.C. So now you have all the teams right here in the district. So I think it's huge. And I love when a new stadium is born, because I love looking at the architecture and the planning and how it changes over time. And also, this is huge because they're going to build this stadium with the idea of, hey, we can host the Women's World Cup. we can host the Final Four, and potentially we can host a Super Bowl. So that will be massive for the city as well. And that's the one thing that was never going to happen at Northwest Stadium. It's just not built for it. And frankly, while it's a nice temporary home, it's not a great stadium at all, especially if you compare it to other NFL stadiums.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to go there for the college football playoff.
No.
Like, you know, you have to make it a little bit more palatable, and especially because the bar is always being raised. Because I go to Titans games, and the stadium's just fine. And then you go to, like, other stadiums, you're like, whoa, this is a different stratosphere. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if your home hasn't been renovated in 30 years, you're like, oh, this is a functional home. Then you go into, like, a new home, you're like, what does this refrigerator do? And it has all these different functions. So it's like when you have, like, the Jerry World, and you have even, like, the Viking Stadium during, like, that primetime game, that one looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Minnesota's new stadium?
I have not, and it does look awesome. Like, it's amazing. It's gorgeous, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, remember, Denton, you'll remember this. A few years ago, when Dan Snyder owned the team, they released these images of a potential new stadium and what it would look like. I can see his reaction. And these drawings had, I swear to God, a moat around the stadium, and there was a dude, like, surfing in the water. A perfect encapsulation of the Dan Snyder era. Like, is there...
That's a great shot.
It was so bad.
It was surfing.
It was posted, and, like, I was in high school, and I was like, where's he getting water from? There's no water around. It was so bad.
You know what people in D.C. love? They love politics and surfing. It's a huge surfing community.
But, like, so it doesn't even make sense with the mascot. Because if it was, it would be one thing if they were, like, the D.C. Knights or something. Like, hey, let's put a drawbridge in a moat.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense. Like, the Commanders? Or it was not even the Commanders back then.
It was the Redskins.
Wasn't it the Redskins?
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't make sense. Jenks, have you seen these pictures floating around on TikTok of the AI-generated stadiums?
Yes,
where
I have.
Those are so cool, but AI is, like, ruining people's expectations. They're like,
right.
What do you mean we can't have, like, a 300-foot tiger,
right.
You know, at the Bengal Stadium? It's like, some of these things are cool, but, like, in reality, like, you can't have plants just growing all over the stadium.
Right.
It's just not sustainable.
Totally. And people are like, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this?
I'm like, because
well,
it's hard.
You can't.
It's expensive.
Like, the Ravens Stadium was amazing. It was, like, this dark castle,
yeah,
and
gothic.
Super black. It was, and then the Dolphins, mm-hmm. they were like in an aquarium, essentially. I'm like, yeah, it looks really cool. Do you know the logistics of trying to keep up like a stadium size aquarium? Oh, you just can't do it. You know, it's not practical. But yes, it's ruining our expectations. They were really cool. I liked a couple of those just so they would pop back up on my feed again. But those are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why you can't take inspiration from those.
Sure.
But like these stadiums are already costing like $1 billion. So
right.
They're like, hey, how much for live plants covering the entire ceiling? They're like, hey, a little over budget.
Yeah, and like the Niners stadium is like a massive like wagon carrying like
crane.
Gold or something. And I'm like, that thing's got to be like 200 feet tall or something stupid. You just can't do it. Great, great AI images, though. Coming up next on the show, before week 3 officially begins, we will see how our rankings have shifted. It's on the Daily Tip next. Stay right there.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Here we go. Good morning to you. We are live from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. The Daily Tip on the MGM Network. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea. Power rankings in the NFL on the way before week three gets underway tonight. Man, this wedding stuff, I got to tell you, we are over, I think, the hump here where we've gotten the vast majority done. We're trying to keep this wedding pretty small, like relatively small, but I've had to invite, there's a couple, like two or three people, like right there on the periphery, and I didn't know if I was going to invite them or not. And I kind of, I don't want to say I caved, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, they should probably be there. Like, we got three Sarahs who are going to be there, or at least are invited. And then there was someone else who, like, sent me a message on Instagram. I was like, okay. So I think we've got it done, but it's hard because I want to make sure everyone is, you know, as many people as I can have there, you know, are there in attendance to experience it. At the same time, we are trying to keep it smaller. So it's been tougher than I anticipated.
Well, I think if people are like truly their friend, your friends, they would understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially people who are married, like understand how much weddings cost. And
yeah.
That everybody is not free. Like you can't just on a whim add somebody and it's not going to cost you money. So, like, I think people get it. Like, especially if it's going to be small. Like, if you have a 300-person wedding and, like, you forget a few people who you hang out with regularly,
yeah.
That's when it's offensive.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, yesterday, I asked Catherine, I go, okay, so should we invite her? Like, I kind of want to, but it's, you know, costs are getting up there. What do you think? And she was like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I think she would really, really love being there and really want an invite. I was like, okay, that's a yes. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. But yeah, for each person, it's like, it's great. But then there are costs associated with that you have to take into account. And that's the thing. Like if money were not a factor, of course, I'd be like, great. But also I want to retain that intimacy. Like that's really important to me. So I feel good about it now. It's just been, that's the thing that has stressed me, like making sure we get the invites right.
Yeah, well, and plus, like, the more people you invite, like, the fewer time you will have to speak to each person.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Like, think about that, too, because I think the bigger a wedding gets, like, the less you get to enjoy it, and the more
that's
it becomes
true.
For other people. Because I think that's the trend that I've noticed with, like, weddings now, is that it feels like it's more for other people than the actual bride and groom. You know, where it's like,
yeah.
Okay, we have to have this amazing food and this amazing band, and we have to have all this entertainment. It's like, at the end of the day, it's supposed to be for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, just make sure the main thing is the main thing.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that because the lovely Catherine was like, I'm worried about what people think about this or this. And I was like, honey, I was like, at the end of the day, if there's one day that you can be selfish, it's your wedding. Like, this is our wedding
right.
day. So while, of course, we want, you know, everything to be nice and everyone to have a great experience, at the end of the day, like, what do you want? This is our day. If you spend your entire wedding day sort of trying to acquiesce and keep everyone happy, then you're sort of missing the point. Like, this is our day. So let's do what we think is best. Everyone's going to have a great time. And I don't think anyone's going to walk away and be like, oh, my God, only chicken or whatever. You know, whatever. I've never walked away from a wedding being like so upset with what they served or whatever. You're just there to celebrate the couple.
Right. And if somebody's going to be judgmental and you think they're going to be judgmental, they do not deserve a spot at your wedding. Like, if you know they're going to be gossiping about your wedding, get them out of there.
Hey, get them out. Get them out. Security, get them out.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Okay. I invite you to give us your updated power rankings in the NFL. So I'm looking at our rankings. Oh, we're really close. We've been close each week, which I think is not necessarily surprising. So let's hear what you got after last week, because week three officially starts tonight with Fins and Bills.
Yeah, we're not hot take artists here. So, no. Like, it makes sense to me that, like, our power rankings are not that far apart. So, okay, number one, the Eagles. The Eagles are the favorites in my book until proven otherwise. It's wild to me that the books have them tied with the Packers for the shortest odds to win the NFC because as much as I think the Packers are a very complete team, they haven't won the Super Bowl like the Eagles have in this recent stretch. So I don't know if you heard that quote from, I forget who the Packers player was, but he had a funny quote about, like, there's plenty of teams that started the season 2-0 and did not amount to bleep. So Eagles, Packers, Bills, just because they have Josh Allen. Like, I think the Chargers are actually the more complete team than the Bills, but I still have some reservations about the Chargers in the postseason. Because I trusted them against the Texans, and Justin Herbert looked terrible and turned into a pumpkin and threw multiple interceptions in that game. So if you're talking about, like, odds to win the Super Bowl and, like, teams I like overall, not just in the regular season but in the postseason, I think I'd put the Bills over the Chargers for that reason. And then I'm going to go with the Ravens at 5, simply because they've lost a game. Like, I mean, Bills, Chargers, Ravens are all right there for me, but at the end of the day, like, I feel like you have to go with the teams that have the better records. So Eagles, Packers, Bills, Chargers, Ravens.
Yeah, I'm really close here. I just have the Bills above the Packers at 2. So number one is the Eagles. This is the most complete team in football. And they don't have the... It's interesting, the Eagles, for all of the star power that they have, like the way they win games, doesn't necessarily take advantage of that star power. A.J. Brown knows this. But at the end of the day, if you're winning football games... then you're winning football games. That's all that matters in the National Football League. Style points don't matter. The Eagles are, what, 17-1 now, straight up, in their last 18 games? Obviously, including the playoffs. That's incredible and so difficult to do in 2025. So, Eagles 1. I'm going to go Bills 2. I want to see how the Bills' defense performs tonight because we sort of saw, you know, a tale of two teams over the past couple of weeks. Like, is it the Bills defense we saw in week one against the Ravens, or is the Bills defense we saw in week two against the Jets? And the Jets do have some offensive tools. What's going to happen tonight against the Fins? I'm curious about that. But because of Josh Allen, I'll go Bills at 2. Packers at 3. I almost went Packers at 2 like you, but I'm going to try and pump the brakes a little bit on the Packers train just because of injuries right now. Especially at receiver, like Jaden Reed is out. He's going to be out for, what, 6 weeks? He had surgery on a collarbone and his foot. So he's going to be out for a while. Ultimately, I think that Packers defense can carry them as far as they want to go. They're really nasty. But Packers at 3, then Chargers at 4. I mean, I'm with you. They look like the most complete team. We love Haba on this show. Justin Herbert is already off to a hot start. They have a top 10 defense. So when we talk about complete teams, that's not just hyperbole. I mean, the Chargers have done it on both sides of the football. And then I put the Ravens at 5. Ultimately, the book is going to be the same on the Ravens all season long. You're going to look great in a regular season. Can you do something in the playoffs? Because they just blew the doors off the Browns last week. In Joe Flacco's return. Elite Joe Flacco. But Ravens at 5.
Right. Do you think it's disrespectful at all that, like, we didn't even mention the Chiefs? Or do you think it's fine since they're 0-2? Because from a betting standpoint, I do think now is the time. If you are going to buy into the Chiefs, like, this is a good spot. And, like, this is the difference between betting and simply ranking teams. Because value is always a thing when it comes to betting. It's like when you go shopping. The price matters. Like, you don't just go in and not look at the price tag unless you're, like, a rapper or somebody who's financially irresponsible. So we don't do that in betting either. So I think that the Chiefs are still a very good team. But if we're, like, power ranking, and if this was, like, the AP top 25, the mere fact that they're 0-2, like, it's hard to put them above teams that are 2-0 that look, you know, noticeably better.
I think that's a very good way to look at it. It's like Clemson, okay? So, all right, they're coming off a loss. They struggled against Troy. Are they a very good football team? Do they have the potential to be a very good football team? Of course. By the end of the season, maybe they move up in the power rankings. But for now, it's like what Bill Parcells said back in the day. You are what your record says you are. So when it comes to the Chiefs, is the potential there? Sure. Is the history there? Yes. Is the track record there? Yes. But you are still 0-2. So sure, from a betting perspective, if I want to try to find some value on the Chiefs and I believe in the Chiefs in the future, this is your time. Like, go in on the Chiefs because they're 0-2 and they're cheaper than they're probably going to be for the rest of the season. But if you're talking about which teams are the best in the NFL right now, you can't put an 0-2 team in your top five. I mean, I guess you can, but I think it would be a fool's errand.
Yeah, and if we're talking about, like, discrepancies, the books actually had the Lions with shorter odds than the Chargers.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Is that surprising to you?
Yeah, it is. I also wonder how much of that is based on what we saw from the Lions last week, like when they just exploded against the Bears, right? Because sometimes style points can influence like how people bet, right? It's like, oh, the Lions aren't dead just yet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can absolutely, you know, drop some points here. So, okay, tough outing against the Packers. Let's not forget about the Lions, who were unbelievable all last season. So I think I'd be curious to know where that was a week ago, but I would bet the books saw some Lions money come in based on that performance against the Bears.
Well, and also they've had better performances in the postseason. Because,
yes,
again, like, this is what I keep coming back to for the Chargers. Is it like, should I have that innate trust in a team that hasn't looked good in the playoffs? Like, mm-hmm. I know they have a different head coach, but like, they had the same head coach last year, and they still turned into a pumpkin. So I think it's one of those things that, like, if you're talking about regular season wins, like, the Chargers are ahead of some of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Super Bowl wins, because we talk about this in the NBA a lot, that, like, having regular season wins under your belt, like, is one thing, and having a great season. But sometimes I think it takes, like, that year of, like, advancing pretty far and losing, and then the next year you win a title.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like
Sure.
we saw that from the Thunder, where, like, it took a couple years and a couple tries where they kind of needed more postseason experience before they could win it all.
For sure. And I think there's a couple things here. If you're talking about the Chargers, is one, you're absolutely right. It's the experience. And then two, it's another year in the system. You know, when you have an extra year in a head coach's system or an offensive or defensive
yeah.
coordinator system, then you get to that point where the play calls are more like you're reacting as opposed to thinking. You hear that a lot in the NFL. Like,
mm-hmm.
once you learn a different play, and then you can expand the playbook as well. It's like, all right, you know the plays now, you know the calls, you know how to react. Now we're going to expand the playbook even more and make both sides of the football more dynamic. So if you're the Chargers, I think there's a real possibility that's happening too. You're getting that experience, and now it's another year under Haba. Big on the Chargers. Big Chargers guy. Go to next year's show. If there's a game on the schedule, you know Chelsea's going to play some props. We'll check out the board and find some plays between the Fins and the Bills tonight. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Hour two of the Daily Tip coming up on the BetMGM Network. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.